Welcome back. Another episode of The Men Who Look Bad in Spandex with Magic 93.1. It's Max. It's Big Steve from Top 5 Comics in the Hillcrest Plaza. Right off First in Orchard. Steve, my man, good to have you in, as always.
Oh, yeah, of course, dude. For sure.
You left the last one with the cliffhanger, man. You remember?
I mean, it's more of a... I do read stuff you put out better, you know. I read the notes. I mean, not on like a timely manner, but you know.
I appreciate that. That's like if I was a musician, you read the liner notes, right?
Yeah,
of course. That's really nice of you, Steve. I mean, that almost touches me. Almost, definitely reaching out and almost doing that. That's good, sir. And I don't know, man. I would call it a little. I guess if we're talking podcasting, I don't know, man. You might be Batman. I'd be Robin. I don't mind. I'll remove ego.
Open the door first, man. Oh. I mean, if we show up at the same place together, you're going to look more imposing because you've got the height, my friend. I show up and like, we can take that guy.
When we're together, we create an even better mass of humanity that no one would want to mess with anyway.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
That could be like our symbiotic power. We're actually sidekicks, so we like morph into each other and then create, I don't know, some sort of super being.
Man, oh, do a fusion dance. That's what that is.
Let's hit our final form, brother. Let's go final form.
Man, yeah.
Steve, Super Saiyan Steve, I would not want to see you with blonde hair, man. That's all. I would be scared. I'd run away.
Especially with it standing all straight up. It'd be crazy.
Dude, with electricity crackling all around you, man. It's training at level 9000 or whatever you got going on.
It's freaking awesome.
Yes, sir. No, I mean, that kind of got me thinking, man, as far as like, things that you kind of rank in the comic world and you don't let anybody know until you have these type of conversations, like best sidekicks, best costumes. Oh, sure. Man, all our Spawn talk got me thinking about who had the best cape in the business, man, because I, of course, think Spawn has the best cape in the business. Obviously, Batman comes in at number 2, right?
Sure.
Because he's the Cape Crusader. 3, I love Mr. Miracle's cape. I thought Scott Free was one of the coolest characters who didn't get enough love. Of course, the New Gods. And Jack Kirby's creation sometimes didn't when you talk about the history of comics. But I would probably say put Strange up there, like for 4, maybe 4 or 5. Superman's iconic red and yellow. I don't know, man. Could be missing some. You could probably fill in the blanks, though.
As far as the capes, man, I mean, that's a pretty good ranking. I mean, I might say Strange a little bit above Scott Free just because Strange's cape does things by itself.
Right.
Like powers or whatever, but I mean, as far as like iconic stylized, I mean, Spawn would be on top because his cape's a living thing.
Yep.
I mean, Strange is not quite as cool as Batman's, so I mean, in fact, his Kevlar, he can glide on it, he can take bullets with it. I mean, the thing is pretty tough. But yeah, sentient being wise, I mean, I always like Doctor Doom's cape, but it's more like a hood cape. So I don't know if you count that as the same thing because it's got the hood top. But I always liked his cape. It's more of a. I don't know. Is there actually something you call that? Like a hoodie? I'm trying to combine the words and I can't do it.
A trench hoodie? Maybe call it trench hoodie?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really cowl because it doesn't have a full face, but I guess maybe it's a cowl because it's a hood.
Well, yeah. And I just remember the ridiculing Damian Wayne got from the Bat family when he first donned that Robin costume, speaking of sidekicks.
Right.
You know, with the hood on it. I remember them, Tim Drake and him battling in the Batcave over that stuff with, you know, Dick Grayson also chiming in with his, you know, store-bought personified brand of Dick Grayson charm.
Oh, man. I mean, he's quippy.
He's quippy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but yeah, Damien's whole deal is that what he believed from being raised from the League of Assassins is he had to kill the guy in front of him to get their job. So Tim Drake was the obvious target. He wanted to be Robin, and in the League of Assassins, that means you kill the guy in front of you.
Definitely want to look into Batman and his whole kind of second stage of the family. Yeah, Batman and Son by Grant Morrison. You have a bunch of other stuff that jumps off from there as well. I mean, that's what I would start if you're looking into like Batman has a son. Yeah, that's where you're going to go. Start there.
Heck yeah, man.
Indeed, sir. Yeah. Man, what about favorite costumes, dude? I got a kind of, clear penchant for favoring the early 90s X-Men because of how bright that was. So Gambit. Gambit was my guy with the trench coat and that, I don't even know what you call those. You had it, man. You said it. It's the weird, like, cowl, but you can still do the hair up top.
Right. like it with the for the helmet, because it's not a full helmet.
Yeah, you know. And then he had some sort of body armor, right? And they always explain some strange things. Like if they caught like cannon fodder laser blasts from some Genosian like street police, you know, Gambit would be able to shake that off because that armor he wore, that pink and blue and black armor.
Right,
man. I mean, say what you will, dude. The Thief
cool
from New Orleans aesthetic.
Iconic.
Yeah, man. The Thief from New Orleans aesthetic was one I was digging for a long time.
For sure. As far as the character, I mean, dude, even now, dude, he still rocks that same costume for the most part, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty much right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. As far as costumes, I mean, I'm always affinitive of Batman, which that's a hard one to shake as far as things, but, I mean...
Okay, wait, Steve. If there's a... So, we'll stick with Batman. Let's talk favorite bat suit. If you want to get crazy, okay. Let's get crazy.
Oh man! I mean, I do like the Nightfall, John Paul Valley's Nightfall armor Batman suit.
Asriel Batman.
Yeah, dude.
All the sharp like edges. All the sharp edges in the world, man.
Crazy claws. Oh. I mean, I like that one. Man, I mean, there's so many different bat. Like, I like the headlight when they did it. So whenever he came back from the dead, and we had two different Batmans because Grayson was Batman and Bruce was Batman, and the costumes were very, very similar, save the logo on the front. And Batman had, like, the headlamp bat symbol, and I dug that.
Yeah. Wasn't too bad. I kind of agree with you there, man. I loved it. Of course,
you know, my favorite bat suit, let me give you that real quick. Favorite bat suit?
Sure.
Red Sun Superman, hands down.
Red Sun Superman with the earmuff. What is that? That like little
the crazy Russian hat Batman.
Yeah. Crazy Russian hat Batman. Oh man, that was
favorite.
Such a good depiction. Such a good depiction, man. That's actually, I think that's Mark Millar, right?
Writing wise, yes. Mark Millar, and then the art was done by Dave Johnson.
Oh man, great couple. Probably one of the best Elseworlds stories. If you're looking into that,
oh, yeah.
For sure, one of the best. Seriously, Red Sun is absolutely fantastic. It's a wonderful one. It's about if Superman were in communist Russia instead of the heartland of America in Kansas.
Yep.
Yeah.
The whole it's an interesting spin, man. Like the whole idea of communism versus, I don't know, I guess all Americana. It's a fantastic story. It really is.
Yeah, it's truly one of those you got to look into if you have not yet. Speaking of stuff you need to look into, my man, is there any more excitement building for you for the Snyder Cut? I've heard a mixed bag of reactions.
Well, I mean, I think the people at this point are like, they keep seeing these other little clips of things, and there's so much that's promising that I don't know how anybody could not be sort of let down. I don't know, man. I'm going to watch regardless. I do like all the interesting pieces that we keep getting little like, oh, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen on the internet. The Martian Manhunter thing was really kind of cool. I don't know if I like the idea, if it irons out that he's, because the piece they put out in the world, just in case people don't know, and this is going to spoil things, so I'm sorry about that.
Do it. Spoil it all, bro.
So Martian Manhunter is supposed to have a scene in the Justice League Snyder Cut movie where he shows up as Ma Kent, to talk to Lois Lane, and as long as they iron it out in a way that they don't try to make us believe he's been Ma Kent this whole time, then that's fine. But it made me kind of worried, because if it's maybe he's been Ma Kent for a while, I don't like that so much.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it's like needs to fit the intent of what's happening, then okay. I mean, Martian Manhunter is a shapeshifter anyway. Generally speaking, good intents. They're saying he's the soldier from the first Man of Steel movie, the African-American general.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I like that a lot. I think that's cool. So if we make that all work, then it's fine. If they try to make a thing, Ma Kent's been Martian Manhunter for a minute. I'm not so happy about that idea. It's weird.
Doesn't it sound like a Snyder thing to do? Doesn't it sound like a Snyder thing to do?
That's the thing, though. It does. Because, like, the whole, oh, yeah, Lex Luthor Jr. And I'm like, oh, no. Are you going to try to tell me Superman's Ma's been the Martian this whole time? Absolutely not.
that'd be a straight kick to the pills. I heard some talk, some chatter about how Warner Brother executives are pretty much kind of shoveling this into a small release window amidst everything else they're putting out in 2021 with their streaming schedule. I believe they think they're maybe trying it out. And obviously, it's undiscovered territory, new stuff for everybody as they navigate the new entertainment world and all right. those things. But the executives just wanted to basically get Snyder off their backs. So they gave him the go, and they said, here's your weekend, which is coming up, I believe, what, next week? Is that it? Next week, the week after? It's coming up, but it's sandwiched in between. You know, you got the Tom and Jerry, you've got the Dragon movie from Disney, and you've got so many other things coming out, and Kong versus Godzilla comes out a week after that, too. So maybe that is it. And after I read that, I was like, they could be onto something, man.
It's a good possibility. I mean, the dude's been trolling pictures of the Henry Cavill black Superman suit for a minute. And, like, as a thing, being that the movie shaked out as it did, I can totally understand where the guy's coming from, because you've got to be kind of pissed about it. I mean, as far as a thing, even if his vision wasn't the best vision, it's still a thing that, like, when he left it, they played the idea, or maybe not so much him, but the company itself, so Warner Brothers, AT&T, played the card of like, oh yeah, his friend Joss Whedon's finishing it, and it's going to be everything he wanted it to be, and blah, 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 blah. As if somehow all of us were like, no, no, without Zack Snyder, I'm not on board. Which none of us said that initially. Now, of course, at this point, everyone's completely changed their tune about that, because people were still saying, but the guy from Man of Steel? Are you kidding? So, like, the shift in the world has been really weird on that, because once the Joss Whedon one came out, all the same people that were like, oh, yeah, he did the Avengers movies. This is going to be the best thing ever. Zack Snyder who? are the same people that are on the boat saying, oh, yeah, Zack Snyder's cut's going to be the best thing ever. I'm like, dude, I saw you on the other boat. What are you doing here? So, like, as a thing, I mean, it's similar. This is not exactly the same, but it's similar to Damian Wayne. Again, to go back to Robin, not that we have to, but we're going to for a second. So Damian Wayne, whatever he was happening in the story, in the books, initially, I had so many dudes, not just guys, girls, too. I mean, so many readers. Let's go with the readers. That makes it more. And the truth is, there's a mixed bag for him. Anyway, so many readers that were like, oh, I really hate this kid. I hate him so much. Like, he's the worst Robin ever. And, like, on a weekly basis, they'd be, oh, this kid again. And then they killed him, and the exact same people the next week are like, I can't believe they killed my favorite Robin. And I'm like, hang on, dude. Who are you, and which alien race replaced you?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, no. I, you know, yeah, he made me mad, but he was my favorite. And I'm like, you people. Are you kidding?
drop the you okay. people. I love it. I love it, man. You can't please him, right? You can't please him. And you know what? I mean, if we're yeah. talking beefs, like I got beef as well with some of these casuals as far as MCU fans go. Sometimes I think they're searching out lore rather than actually enjoying the source material. So they just want more things to come out that are new and something they haven't seen before so they can dissect it and create content perhaps via their own lens to then, sure. of course, give to their followers or the people who they, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, I do appreciate the streaming format. Obviously, with WandaVision, it's been fun, but sure. at the same time, I'm patient enough to wait. You know, I've been trained throughout years of, you know, buying comic book subscriptions to enjoy a cliffhanger.
Right.
And then maybe that's kind of what you're talking about. Maybe the taste for that for some people kind of comes and goes, right? Because I thought that was a great moment. I loved Grant Morrison's run. Batman and Robin run. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And Batman Incorporated, really, really kind of neat. Kind of an interesting spin. And Morrison is obviously his completely his own flavor. He's like not even on the ice cream counter, man. The dude's like over in left field. So that is, I thought it was a refreshing take. And I liked what he established. And I appreciate, of course, him. Yeah, actually dying. Damian Wayne definitely dying. He could have still been dead for me if you really ask. And,
sure.
Obviously, that's another trope that gets regurgitated a lot, you know, the death and rebirth of superheroes.
Right. Well, yeah, nowadays it's not quite, it's not the same as what it was before. I mean, there's a whole thing with the death of Superman. The death of Superman didn't really kill Superman, it killed death in comics. Because up until Superman's death, death still mattered in comics.
Right.
And then afterwards, well, it became a revolving door, so... Not so much. I mean, only two, really. And Uncle Ben has come back in, like, a weird other universe. But generally speaking, the only ones that stay dead mm-hmm. is Pa Kent and Uncle Ben. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it.
Well, it was Bucky Barnes for a while until Winter Soldier came. And...
Well, I mean, yeah, he used to be part of the old staple of... But the Winter Soldier's return so well put together.
Yes.
And so smart.
That's one of my favorite comics. I like Brubaker a lot. Some of his finest work, indeed.
Oh, sure,
That whole run, actually, he had on Captain America in the early 2000s was primo, man. Totally primo.
Oh, yeah, so good. And all that stuff, like, when you say Death and Returns, like, some of them are willy-nilly. But, like, that one, man, so well put together, yeah.
Very well done. Indeed, my friend. Let's get some thoughts, too, on some other big media things involving comic books before we get to the nitty-gritty and the books and everything. Okay. Obviously, you have Falcon and Winter Soldier coming. You do have maybe a release date for Black Widow. On the opposite side of this, because, you know, the MCU is a well-oiled machine, man. We don't even need to talk about that. There's so many people out there that probably already know things before we do. I'm actually more interested in the J.J. Abrams Superman reboot. I think that has kind of some serious news as well. Something to it, indeed. And, of course, the... Well, I just forgot it, but maybe it'll come back to me. But yeah, the J.J. Abrams Superman reboot, does this reset the whole thing again? I mean, are they just trying to start
anew? Question. Like, my brain says, and it isn't going to sound bad, because I like Abrams just fine. But my problem is that you want to take it away and make a Superman movie that, for all intents and purposes, sounds like Superman from Earth 28. Which, I mean, that's fine, whatever. But if you can't make a good, just normal Superman movie, what are you doing trying to make an alternate universe Superman movie? What are you doing?
True.
Because he's not Kal-El, he's not Clark.
No.
He's Calvin, Calvin, I know the last name, I can't remember it. But he's a totally different dude from a totally different world. He's President Superman.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to turn the crank and be like, no, this is just a different Clark Kent, everybody. I mean, okay, I guess, but I mean, isn't that what happened with the Fantastic Four? Mm. And it was not that was the problem, because that part wasn't even bad. The rest of the movie was bad.
True.
But if you're going to do a Superman movie and you can't make a normal, just regular Clark Kent movie, do well, make people happy, why are you aiming at like the weirdest version of Superman?
Well, social climate and what that culture, I believe, kind of is dictating that for sure.
Sure.
And I'm completely okay with it, but I definitely understand where you might come from right there, I guess. And why not? For sure, definitely, as far as that goes. But I think you make a good point. I mean, how many times?
That's my only take with it, really. I mean, as far as acting, they're saying Michael B. Jordan, that dude's great.
He's
Human Torch wasn't bad at all. His Creed is so good.
Yeah, well, he's he's a very good actor. Yeah, he was. I mean,
he
almost stole Black Panther away from Chadwick Boseman. Rest in peace.
I mean, it was so close between the two of them. Oh, yeah, man,
it was pretty darn amazing indeed. But yeah, I mean, again, maybe it's simply my appetite for this stuff. But you know, reboot after reboot after one thing after another. If you're gonna create something and stick to an idea of the narrative you want to explore in an expanded universe, I mean, there's going to be eventually a time where I say no.
Right.
Yeah, but hey, whatever, man. Hey, I got a great recommendation from a friend of mine, and I got to check it out. The Last Ronin, the new IDW stuff with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, man. Do you have it in store?
Right now we have issue 2s. We are getting more issue 1s. We've gone to a third print on that book finally, so we are getting some third print number 1s in. Number 3 is not out. It comes out in May. So it's coming out like every 3 months. It's going to be a total of 5 issues. And yeah, issue 2s I currently have. Issue 1s we are getting more. And it is fantastic.
I've heard.
So good.
I've heard amazing things. Absolutely amazing things. What else? What else we got coming in down the pipeline that can really establish a great narrative for the next few months as far as print comics go? Are you enjoying Infinite Frontier? Has been, you know, an absolute blast, as we've heard you talk about. Is there anything else? I mean, as far as...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, as far as stuff, I mean, the Infinite Frontier issue 0 came out, and it's a very interesting storyline. A lot of material inside of it. That guy came out this week. This next week, we're getting issue 55 of Spider-Man, third print, and that cover is super popular. Story's really decent, too. Pat Gleason doing the art on it. But yeah, the third print is going to feature a blue tone to the cover. If you need to know what that looks like, just Google issue 55 of Amazing Spider-Man. It is hot fire on the internet. Story's good too, though. So it's not just but the cover itself is so popular. But though that thing's getting the third print coming out, we're going to get Blade Runner Origins number one. So this is a new take timeline-wise on the Blade Runner idea and a different character. So it should be interesting to see what that thing winds up being. The art looks really good for it, so I think that's cool. To stick with the Spider-Man flavor, we're getting a brand new series called Nonstop Spider-Man. Ooh. Issue one of it drops next Wednesday, and it is supposed to be action all the time.
Oh, wow.
Hence the title. So that begs to be seen because awesome.
Yeah, that's obviously my favorite part for sure. That's great. Be on the lookout for that, man. Steve, I'll be in to grab one and two of Last Ronin for sure. You can always catch him on Facebook. If you need to ask any questions about subscription services, where to get great issues, where to go to find rare things, he is the man. Just type in Top 5 Comics. Go visit him anytime. Steve, you're open Monday through Friday?
Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday? Stop it.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm here all the time.
You work too hard, man. You're little. Doing it for what you love. That's fantastic, man. Yeah, go see him. Say hello right off First and Orchard. It's the Hillcrest Plaza above Cameosta Salon. You'll see him at Top 5 Comics. Steve, always a pleasure to chat it up, my man. Definitely.
For sure, man. No problem.